Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's edition of the International Black Summit Talk Show. This is your host, Lenar, and this is Sunday night, March, what do we have here? March 9th. And this was the day that, at least I'm experiencing the spring forward. Lord have mercy, I've been springing forward into this time crunch. I just made it back in the house, 2 minutes for the show, computer open in my hand, and ready to go. And I'm here. And I'm pleased to say, and so is our guest for tonight. So who we have with us is someone who was accountable and responsible for making sure that participants with the International Black Summit were able to move around the globe, and she did it magnificently. She is also the person who assisted the International Black Summit with making sure at different points that we had accommodations that matched who we said we were in the world. There's a lot more we're going to learn and find out about our guest tonight. And what I'd like to do, without taking up a lot more time, is introduce our guest tonight, Ms. Nancy D. Simmons.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm very happy for the opportunity to be interviewed on the International Black Summit Blog Talk Radio.
And I'm glad you are here, too. You are one of our leaders. And, you know, I don't know why, but it occurs to me that our leaders are kind of shy. You know, I've been requesting people to step forward. And I don't know if you know this, Nancy, but I sent that to the entire facilitator body and the leadership council and leadership body. And out of all of those emails, you were the one who said yes. Even to today, you are the one who said yes. Now, I've spoken with others since then, and they've agreed, mm-hmm. but I mean, from that email, you are the one that said yes. So what made it that you could get who you were as leader and step forward?
It's a great question. You know, and it's one of the things that I would say that I continue to get out of the work that I've done with the International Black Summit and also, you know, prior works that I've done. When I'm shy, I would say I'm shy, and one of the things that I do now is when something is, if I'm afraid or uncomfortable to do something, mm-hmm. unless it looks like it's going to hurt me, I jump in. You know, before I would not jump in, I'd be on the sidelines looking, but I jump in now because I see, first of all, that there's something that you saw to make the request. And so I wanted to say there's no accident. There's a reason why this email is being sent to me. Take it on.
That's a great way to look at it. If it's not going to hurt or harm you, why not jump in?
Mm-hmm.
That's a great way of looking at it. Because there clearly wasn't anything. I didn't have, I wasn't going to stab, shoot, maim anyone or anything like that. You know, I wasn't even going to gossip or talk about them. You know, I just wanted to interview them, you know, just have a conversation while we are on the air. And that being on the air can be kind of intimidating. I can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, speaking of that, we were on the air together last night.
Yes.
That was so interesting. And, you know, for a little while I was triggered. I was like, what is Nancy doing here telling people she's a coach? This is my opportunity. And then I said, you know what? I sent that email out. I
yes.
invited people to join me.
Yes.
And so whatever, you know, it was perfect in the scheme of things. So yes. I was glad you were there. You know, we were speaking about the International Black Summit.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly do hope that some of those participants on that from that call are listening in tonight. That's a different audience. You know, in my world as part of the tech team, it's the fulfillment of my part in expanding the conversation of the International Black Summit.
Well, it's interesting seeing that email from you, and I said, oh, Lord, I have stuff. I don't want to be on the call tonight. I don't want to. And then my it's not going to hurt you, not going to harm you. You know, there's the reason why the email came to you. This, you know, so I listened to the conversation as it went, and I says, let me see if there's an opening for me to even make a phone call, to even join the call. And I saw it, and I said, okay, time to call in. You know?
Well, I really am glad that you did, because they got a lot out of it, because I had mentioned the movie The Secret, and then you picked up on that and, you know, said more about it. And so now, you know, they've got that avenue to, you know, to look at for a mind elevation. So it was really great.
It's also another reason why I share just in general, because being around the International Black Summit, just listening to people share, their cares have added to me. So I look at it as an opportunity. If maybe I'll say something that will forward someone in some way, shape, or form. So I'm willing to give of myself in that way through my uncomfortableness, such that that could happen for another person, just like it's happened for me.
Well, I'm glad you did that. I was looking in the chat room because I was back there, and they were saying that it was a great conversation. So I'm glad that you were there. So now, but let's get to talking about you and your participation with the International Black Summit.
Yes.
And, you know, really, travel and event manager, and that's who I have known you, the space of travel and event in the summit right now, and I also know you as facilitator. So your first summit was?
1994.
In New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Right. Yeah. So what had you participate in the summit? Had you participated with Landmark? Are you one of those who have been through that?
Yeah, I was in a Landmark seminar, and I had been hearing about the International Black Summit. I think I heard about it in 92, and in 93 I even helped Michelle Brown, which is one of my good friend's sister, to get a ticket to go to Oakland. And I said, oh, I'm not interested in this stuff. So I'm sitting in one of my seminar on Friday morning. And, you know, and I, like I said, I've been here. I had a friend of mine's, in 1990, I moved to my new apartment in Manhattan. And my sister, we both moved here. And I was so excited about this apartment, I started inviting people to a housewarming. And so I said, oh, great, you know, listen, come to my housewarming, and, you know, all my friends, this seminar. And then there's one lady, only one person, that said, excuse me. Well, where's the invitation? You don't have anything written out? So I was like, no. She says, well, she didn't come. So I was like, well, all right, for her. So everybody else showed up. We had a great time. And, you know, and so I had this energy about this particular person now, because I saw her a lot in the seminars. And then for years. And so when she came, she went to Oakland in 1993, and she came back from the seminar all excited. I'm sitting in my seminar one day, and somebody comes up behind me and hugs me. Oh, Nancy, how are you? How you doing? So I'm going to turn around and see who this is, thinking it's somebody who I love, you know, it's one of my friends, and here it is, this person who had this conversation about coming to my house. So I said, well, what happened to you? I just came back from the summit in Oakland. I says, whatever you did, I want to do it. Because for me, there was some shift in the way she was being with me that I didn't see 3 years earlier. And for 3 years going by, so I said, oh, my God. I said, I want to go. Got myself registered, got myself on a plane, and got myself down to New Orleans. Remember walking in the door, seeing Charmaine greeting us. I thought that was fabulous. I wasn't feeling well, so I went upstairs and I laid down. And Dolores Brown called me. She was my roommate. She said, Nancy, you sure you're not coming downstairs to Thursday night event? I said, listen, I don't feel good. But in the background, I could hear all this music going on, because I didn't know about the Thursday night event. You know, my seminar mate didn't tell me about that.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, and I heard all of this music and excitement. I said, let me get dressed and go downstairs. Oh, my God, I'm so happy I didn't miss that. That is like the best part of your summit, your first summit of any summit. Is all the, you know, the welcoming home of the people who haven't seen each other for years, and you get a taste of the community and the flavor of that destination in that evening. And I was so happy that Joyce Jones made a video copy of the event, because while I was upstairs, I missed a good part of it, but I got to see it on the videotape. So that was like my first summit.
Oh, wow.
Really great. I mean, it really, it this person was like transformed, at least our relationship was transformed out of her being in that 1993. And to tell you the truth, I wouldn't have gone if it wasn't for her.
Wow. And is she one of the people that you, do you continue to have a relationship with her?
I haven't seen her in a while, but from that point on, we had been in many, 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 many seminars, many, many summits together. And one day she came up to me and she said, you know what, Nancy, I've been around the summit for years. And she said, I was the events manager. She said, look at you all the way up here. You know, now you're one of the leaders. And I was like, yeah. I'm one of the leaders. She says, look at you.
And that's available to anyone that participates in the summit.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you must have been practicing that if it doesn't harm me, you know, or hurt me, I jump in. Back then, you must have been in that same space.
Well, actually, I started doing that from when I was when I did the S training.
Mm-hmm.
And I started from then, you know, when I got to do some assisting for they had these programs where you put people in to hear about the forum or the S training. And so I was in some of those rooms, and I was one of the people who was sharing about, you know, what the possibility is of being in the forum or the S training. And I was one of the assistants, and I was like, oh, God, this is so uncomfortable. This is so scary. But as soon as the evening came to the point where you had to share with other people about the event that they came to, I was one of the first people up out of my chairs.
Wow.
Because I was like, this is scary, but I don't want to be, I want to get something from this.
And not only have you been getting, based on what you've said, you've also been giving. So talk a little bit about why travel and events manager.
Well, it's interesting about that because, you know, being, I've been a travel agent for a while, and basically, you know, I've sent people on, you know, maybe one or two people on a trip. Never saw myself as sending a group anywhere.
Mm.
And in October, I believe of, I forgot the year it was, my aunt was graduating from getting her doctorate, and she invited the entire family to go to her graduation. And so I was in October, I was in the last meeting that we had for the year, and I was supposed to leave, you know, this event before the weekend was over to go to my aunt's graduation, but somehow it got canceled, so I stayed the entire weekend. And toward the end, they said, well, Nancy, we get you as events manager. And I said, no, I'm not doing that. You know, so everybody started, like, there was a whole group of people standing around me saying, well, we see this, and I'm like, no, I'm not doing it. And let me tell you, Lenore, I can get people off my case. Like,
mm-hmm.
I can get them to, like, don't ask anymore. And there was one person that stayed there, Bill Davis.
Mm.
He stayed, and I was like, I was actually, you know, I was still in my position, but I was looking out at him being impressed with his not letting me kill him off.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
How I normally do is like, get away from me, I'm not doing it. And he kept standing there, and every consideration I gave him, he said, well, then you'll get somebody else to do that. You know, whatever consideration I threw at him, he was like, he had the answer for it not be a burden for me. So I said, well, wait a minute. So he hears something. He sees something. So I'm going to trust, all in this moment that we're talking, I'm saying this to myself, he hears something, he sees something, so I'm going to trust him. I said, so help me. Help me. What do you see? And then, you know, out of that conversation with Bill Davis, you know, I took on being the events manager. And so I was excited for only a moment. Because then I found out that they were going to Philadelphia. And in Philadelphia, the entire city had been closed to anyone coming in booking meeting space for 2 years. The Republicans had decided they were going in there, and no one else was coming in. I don't care how much money you were willing to pay, you were not getting any meeting space. So I said, oh, Lord, what did I take on? But, of course, knowing, you know, as a travel agent, you know, that's not the only city. It's not the only place to have an event. So I just figured, oh, we'll just do something else until I found out. The International Black Summit aligns on a city and a place, and they do not change their mind. I was like, oh, Lord, are you kidding me? You guys are going to go. There's no hotel room. Then finally I just said, you know what? The International Black Summit has declared this as the next location for their event. I'm aligned. The Republicans have to change their plans because we're not changing ours. And when I got on board like that, I started to just call hotels and different places and I was told that the Republicans did change their mind. They decided to move further south, and so that made the hotels in the north more available. And I was one of the first people to hear about that, and I got us the largest meeting space in all of Philadelphia for that event.
Yes, you did.
Totally blown away.
Yes, you did.
I just had to get on board. You know, once I got on board, you know, I got present through the alignment, it all opened up.
And so you did that for us for a couple of years. So that was for Philly.
Philly.
And then the next year we went to Jamaica.
No, Philly, Memphis, Toronto, and Salvador de Bahia.
Oh, so you didn't do for...
Jamaica was before Philly.
Okay.
It was Jamaica, then it was Philly.
You're right. Okay, so again, you were for Philly and
Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto.
Toronto.
And we went to South America. Salvador de Bahia.
Right, but Toronto... We went to Toronto,
mm-hmm.
and right in 2002, I think so. I don't have my numbers in front of me, but you would know where you were events manager for. So, which now we've heard about Philly and what you know that opened up for you, like just standing there saying, "Okay, this is what you know the summit is aligned, and this is where the summit is going."
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything eventful occurring around any of the other locations? Was there something around Memphis? Was there something around Salvador de Bahia? Was there, or were they once you jump on board, things just go?
Well, a couple of interesting things for each particular location, just to share. Memphis, you know, when I begin to. Again, I didn't negotiate really contracts before, so I went in negotiating contracts and checking out meeting space, and I began having a conversation with Marriott Hotel, and you know, trying to look at the price and see how the price was going to work in terms of the meeting rooms and in the sleeping rooms. And my thing in dealing with hotels, because at the end of that event, Perry Park said to me, "Nancy, what did you say to the hotel? Because they treated us, you know, they couldn't do enough for us. They were like, they were so great to us." So when I went in to negotiate the contract with the hotel, I was looking for a win-win situation. I was looking to make sure the hotel, the cost of the rooms was, you know, enough that they made money. And then the meeting space was enough that, you know, that it was just a win-win across the board. So one day the guy said to me, "Well, I'm giving you this, and I'm giving you that, and I'm giving you this." And I said to him, I said, "Listen, let me tell you something. You're not giving us anything." I said, "We're paying for these meeting space, and we're paying for these rooms." I said, "If they're too low, then you raise it right now. You raise the price right now, because I will not have this conversation about you giving us anything."
Mm.
So he backed up for a second, and he apologized. He did not lower the rate, and we continued to have a conversation that was professional and not about anybody doing anyone any favors. And so it was that kind of relationship that I went into the hotel with. It's like, let's make sure everybody is taken care of. I don't know how people negotiate contracts in the world, but this is how I dealt with it, to make sure everybody was happy, you know, that, you know, it worked out and people were taking care of me. I watched people sit in a restaurant and say, "Well, you know, I would love to have some soup," and have somebody overhear it and say, "We don't have any soup, but we'll go make you some." And I was like, wow. The hotel took care of us. You know,
yeah.
They really, really took care of us. And in Toronto, this is international. I had never dealt with, you know, booking a group international level. It's like, okay, this is interesting. And I just thought, you know, the Canadians were different than, you know, making contracts with other people. And so that piece was kind of interesting to me as well. And in Brazil, it was the language piece. You know, I didn't speak Portuguese or Spanish or any of those languages. I speak English. And when I went down and did a site inspection, and I'm sitting around the meeting space, and I'm telling the people at the hotel, I said, "You know what? I want this, 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 this." And they said, "Yes, we understand." You know, and when I, it was like, what does it take to go down to the corner and come back again? That's like, just give an example of a question I would ask.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you have to rent a car and go 60 blocks over and then go another mile past, and I said, and it's like, excuse me? It's like we were, even though they were saying yes, they understood what I was saying, they weren't. So that was interesting. But as during the event, because let me back up for a second, during the event, people were calling people and saying, you have to come to this event. People who worked in the hotel were coming to me and saying, Nancy, how do I get my friends and families, people who I know, in this event? This is a great event. These are people who worked at the hotel who never heard about the International Black Summit until we arrived there. It was like televised, it was on the radio, and people would see signs outside and say, I saw this sign about the International Black Summit, can we come in? It's like, yes. Come on. We had to do prerequisites all the way up to, like, I don't know, a Saturday morning we were doing prerequisites, Saturday afternoon probably. People were trying to get themselves into this event because they heard about it. People were sitting in their seats, getting up, going during the break, calling their family members saying, you got to come down. This is an event that you cannot miss. I mean, it's just totally amazing stuff to me. I was amazed. I was amazed by it. And it was at that particular summit. I said I'm looking at being a facilitator.
Wow, because I've wondered about that. But before we get to that, you mentioned the prerequisites. And that's one of the teams that
I'm on.
You're on, and I know that in my world you've been passionate about. So tell our listeners what the prerequisite is, what it's about.
Well, it's really an opportunity to get yourself up to speed to what's going on in the International Black Summit at this point. And this is kind of how I hold it when participants come in the room. It's really to bring them from, you know, people who have been in the event since 1991, is to bring them from that page up to the year 2008. And before I was in that room, I used to wonder, what was going on in that prerequisite room that had those people specifically make it to the mic a lot?
Mm.
Like, I'd say, wow, they'd be up at the microphone sharing. So I said, So what are they doing in there? So the first standalone prerequisite that was had was here in New York, where I live, and I was a production assistant at the back of the room, and I invited my mother, my sister, my brother, my aunt. You know, I had a lot of family members in that particular, so I got to see what goes on in that room. And they really do take them back from 1991 all the way up to present date and really get those participants really, really fully in the conversation of the International Black Summit. So by the time they get to the room that Friday morning of the summit, they're ready. They're in the conversation. They're ready to contribute to the conversation. They're ready to move forward. And that's what, you know, I'm noticing, that's what it took, you know, to have them at the mic first. And a lot. Like, my mother was the last person to share in Philadelphia. I was totally blown away. I said, look at her, man. My mother's shy.
Shyer than you?
Shyer than me. she was the last person to share. And she said something that I keep remembering. She says, Nancy is the leader of the family.
Wow.
And, you know your family.
Yeah.
And then you know your family. But then you don't, when they say stuff like that about you, you go, oh, my God, that is so great. I had no idea. You know, I'm the leader of the family.
And you're definitely a leader here also in the International Black Summit. So with us tonight, for our listeners, if you've just joined us, we are having a conversation with Nancy D. Simmons, who has been a travel and event manager for the International Black Summit. She made sure, as she's already talked about, that we got to the places we needed to get to, and that we had great accommodations once we got there. She's also been sharing about her enthusiasm and her passion for the prerequisite, which is a one day prior to attending the International Black Summit, an opportunity to bring oneself get online to learn some of the language, to find out what we've been doing over the years, so that when you step into the room that you can participate fully.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a couple of callers on the line. I'd like to see if any of them would like to wish you well or have a question or comment. So the way we do this here at the IBS Talk Show is give out your area code and first three digits, and then I'll ask you if you'd like to give your name and greet Nancy or ask a question. You're welcome to do so. So let's begin with 212-426. Hi, you're live on the air with the International Black Summit Talk Show, and our guest, Nancy Simmons, D. Simmons, I apologize. Is there something you'd like to ask? If so, please identify yourself, or if you just like to greet Nancy, identify yourself and do that.
Hi, my name is Phyllis. I'm Nancy's sister, and I just called to listen.
That's great. Well, thank you, Phyllis, and hi to you, too.
Hi.
Nancy, is there anything you'd like to say to your sister?
Thank you for listening.
Okay, we've got caller 212-831. Hi.
Yeah, there's one more thing I want to say to my sister.
Okay.
You know, my sister is my travel companion, and she's been with me to a lot of summits. And in Brazil, she took on being the vendor manager for me. She did a fantastic job. And you know, traveling with my sister is like, she's an amazing person. She's one of those people that when you don't even know what's missing, she's putting it in its place. You know, she's like an amazing person to be around. So I love her, and I'm glad she's listening in.
Well, I like that, Phyllis, because I'm one of those who usually spots the missing. Like if it were included, would be like, you know, the addition of sugar to a cake, like that. So I'm glad to know that there's another one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's in Nancy's family. All right. So here we go with caller 212-831. Hi, you're live on the air with International Black Summit Talk Show with our guest, Nancy D. Simmons. Please state your name, and if you have a question or you'd like to greet Nancy, please do so. And we respect your right to privacy, so we'll move on to we've got another caller on the line, 917-208. Hi, you're live on the air. Please state your name, and if you've got a question or comment for Nancy.
Comment. My name is Karen Obie. This is her god sister. Hi, Nancy. How you doing?
Nancy?
Hello?
Oh, this must be Nancy. Hold on a sec. Nancy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, great. Did you hear her?
Yes, I did hear her.
Okay. Well, we didn't hear your response. I apologize. That was me.
Oh, I said yes. Hi. Welcome. Great. Thank you.
Okay.
Another one of my traveling buddies.
All right. So, and we're going to get to that travel consultant in a moment, because you've been all over the world in various places. So we've got caller 516-735. Hi, you're live on the air with the International Black Summit Talk Show. Please state your name and your question or comment or greeting.
Hi, this is Carol.
Hey, Carol.
Hi, Nancy.
Carol is my good, good, good buddy, and she was also the manager of my group when I was singing.
We've got to get to that. Maybe we can get you to sing something for us tonight.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I got Lewis here.
Lewis is the lead singer in my group. I love it.
Wow.
Nancy, we go back how many years?
Oh, my God, Carol. 1980.
Longer than that.
79, probably.
78, 77.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Wow.
A lot of history.
Right. Oh, my God. And she connived me into managing her band. And her lead singer and I are now married.
Oh,
so we tell everybody she's responsible, but she doesn't want to be if we have a fight.
I can't blame her. So she connived you into the band.
Yeah.
Well, after we get this caller on, let's come back. I want to hear that story. So we've got caller 718-589. Hi, you're live on the air.
Hello, this is Vivian, Nancy's mother.
Oh, wow.
Just calling to let her know that I'm listening also.
Oh, so you're the shy one.
Yeah, I'm fighting sleep, but I'm enjoying it.
That is great.
Yes.
And according to Nancy, you're the shy one.
Yes.
You know what? You're the one whose voice has come over the loudest and the strongest as I'm listening. So
really?
Yes, really. I don't get anything shy about you at all.
Well, she brings that out of me.
All right. Okay. Well, Nancy.
Yes.
Since they brought up the band, and I don't want to miss this. I want to be here for this. So tell us something, because I have known Nancy, and I don't really like through my participation with the summit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not a traveling buddy yet, but I do travel. But I learned
travel through her life.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
I learned more about Nancy because of this show than I have learned about her in the 14 years she's been with the International Black Summit. And I've been there all those years, plus some.
Uh-huh.
So, Nancy, you sang professionally gospel, rock and roll, R&B.
Mm-hmm.
And which band members do we have on the line with it? Which band? Was it the R&B, the rock and roll, or gospel?
What was that?
Jatam. It was called Jatam.
Okay.
And my sister is one of the members on the call, and Carol's the manager, and her husband, Louis,
okay,
the lead singer.
Right, and your cousin.
And no, she's asking who's on the call.
Oh,
so those are the members that are on the call. And the band was called Jatam. I Love You in French, which I love that name.
And they sang at my wedding.
Wow. And so most of the repertoire was what kind of music?
R&B mostly.
R&B mostly.
Top 40s.
Yeah.
Top 40s. And so the lead singer and...
lead singer. Louis, come here.
So can you give us a little something? What was your favorite tune? What was your most requested tune?
Oh. I can't think of the most requested. We did stuff like... We did a lot of...
One in a Million.
Hi, Nancy.
Hey, this is Louis. There's Louis.
Oh, One in a Million. I know that song.
Chance of a lifetime.
Life showed compassion, right?
Yeah, that was a requested. That was a requested song.
Oh, is that what got sang at your wedding?
That was a good song.
At the wedding, we did a duet. Me and Louis, right? Louis, we did a.
That's right. I think it was the duet was...
You said, honey, pretend Nancy is you. Don't beat her up.
And so how many years was the band how many years were you with the band?
I don't... It was a lot of years. I don't remember how many years.
Number of years?
I don't remember.
I mean, and
four.
Are you thinking of a reunion? A comeback?
No.
We're in the 70s, I know.
No.
It was during the 70s. What did you say? No, huh?
It's been a long time.
You know what's so wonderful about being, being in the band? You know, it was great having, rehearsals. It was a lot of work, Lenar.
Right. A lot of,
I'm sure.
Oh,
I,
Lord.
Yeah.
With the band, yes.
Yeah.
A lot of hours into a studio,
yeah.
The studio room.
Mm.
Yes.
That's right.
I mean, tremendous amount of love and
yeah.
love my partners here. It was a lot of work.
But a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Mm. You have a recording?
A lot of fun together.
I don't have anything I can play for you, no.
Yeah,
no, I well, I meant...
I know we have photographs.
A record or a tape or like that.
Probably. Who knows?
I might have a tape from the studio time, from the studio rehearsal.
Mm.
That I believe I still have. It's in cassette.
Nancy, you have to bring that to one of our gatherings.
Okay.
We have to hear that. We might even have to put it on CD,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We've got you and Barbara got to be cool. Well, it's been a delight talking with the band members. And Louis, thank you for that. That was the great little rendition of One in a Million. I thank you for that.
You're welcome. Hold on.
So, Nancy, did you travel with the band?
Who, me? I'm Carol Stack on the phone. We should go get the other phone, Louis.
No, well, where's Nancy?
I'm right here.
Did you travel with the band?
Yeah, we mostly was in the Greater New York area.
Okay. And at that time, were you part of, because I know you are a travel consultant. you are now. You know, ever since I've known you, that's what I've known you.
But I wasn't then.
Okay, that was kind of my question.
Yeah,
so what had you then go from band, you know, being in the band, going to travel consultant? What had you do that?
Money, huh?
Yeah, that was part of it, money. But you know what? I was working, you know, I worked at this a company called IPC.
Right.
And I worked there with Carol.
Right.
And I decided I wanted to take a leave of absence. And so I did from my job. And when I decided to wait long enough so that when I went back, I wouldn't have a job, like on purpose.
Mm. I don't remember that.
And so I called up and I said to them, listen, what's the deal? And they said, well, you know, we've been off so long, we don't have a space for you. They said, but what we can do is put you on unemployment. I was like, yay, to myself. Because I had concluded that I didn't want to go back.
Right.
And, I took that opportunity to go to school. And went to a 6-week course.
Mm-hmm.
And I became a travel agent. You know, I went and got a job doing travel.
I'm not sure what that is. Nancy?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so I you know, said to myself, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to find a job in the travel business. And I found this job in a very short amount of time. And I took all of this, my coursework, and put it in a nice little portfolio. And when they said to me, did you have any experience, I whipped out my portfolio and said, yeah, this is all my classwork, and I got an A on this and an A on this. They hired me on the spot.
Wow.
I just came across being very confident about what I did in class was sufficient to have them hire me.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did.
That's great.
Yeah. And that's how I got into the travel business. A 6-week course, it cost me $800.
And it's been worth it every
time. Great investment.
It's paid for itself many times
oh,
over.
Oh, forget it. I can't even, it's going to pay for my retirement.
All right. So then, I know you've already talked about the places you helped book us for the International Black Summit,
mm-hmm.
Philly, Memphis, Toronto, Salvador de Bahia.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are some of the places that you have visited yourself? And then give us your most memorable one.
I've also been to Mexico. I didn't mention that. I've been to Mexico, Cancun, and... and one year I actually did all of Mexico in one year. I'd never been there. I went to Cancun, Cozumel. My sister and my mother, we went to Mazatlan, Mexico City, and I went to Puerto Vallarta all in that one year. You know, I did other cities, and we did Mazatlan together. I've also been to, like I said, all of the Caribbean, you know, Jamaica, St. Thomas, Rigolant, Martinique. I've been to the Bahamas, the Outer Islands, the small little boutique islands. I've been to London several times and Paris a few times. In fact, I was just there in April with my sister, my travel partner here, and lots of U.S. states. But my most, you know, I've been to Jamaica probably maybe 8 or 9 times. It is my most favorite destination. I used to try to make everybody go there when I did leisure travel. They say, where should I go? I said, Jamaica. Why? I said, because it's the only place to go.
And where, was there any place in particular in Jamaica?
I would go to all the all-inclusive resorts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went to Ocho Rios, Montego Bay, Negril, and I would basically stay at the all-inclusives. And I guess, you know, I just love the people, the music, the island. It's just, you know.
The food.
The food.
That out, that fish.
Oh, my God.
Door.
It's just an incredible island, and I've just, you know, so when we went there for the summit, I was just a happy person.
And the water. Oh,
just wonderful.
I know. So clear. I think that was when we went to Negril. Oh, you can just look down at your feet in the sand and the water.
Clear water. That's
yes.
The best part.
Yeah.
Couldn't go in any more dirty water in New York City. You know, the beaches here, the water's a little dark.
I haven't asked you about that. Have you always lived in New York?
Well, let me just answer one more question about my favorite place. And that was when we went to Kenya.
Okay.
You know, when I go on vacation or when I go away anyway, there's a time to be there, then there's a time to come home. And, you know, I think you can understand what I'm saying. It's like, okay, I'm ready to go home now.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was on that plane, I was flying, and we began to see the land as you're coming into the you know, to the airport, I felt like I was home. I've never, ever, haven't since felt that about a destination I went to. It was, it's not that I didn't want to leave, but I didn't have that I'm ready to leave kind of feeling.
Mm.
Then, like, I was like, wow, this, I mean, when, I feel like I'm home. I don't know, you know, I don't know our history, like where our family and all, people are from, but I do know I felt home there.
Wow.
So I would say that's probably one of my favorite destinations in terms of, you know, memorable.
On the continent. I got it.
In terms of, I was born here in New York City.
Oh.
And my mom married to my dad. My mom was a homemaker. And at some point she decided, she says, well, don't want to do that anymore. I want to do some other things. So she asked my grandmother to take care of us a little bit until she did some things with school. And so she sent us to Florida. And the thing that's cool about Florida is that we had an opportunity to have the city and the country, you know, in our blood, me, my sister, and my brother. So we were raised there. And I think the greatest gift that my grandmother did for us when we were there as children, you know, she made us go to church every Sunday, which I say is one of my greatest foundations that I have for myself. It's like once you, you know, once you have that inside of you, no one can take it away from you, and you can always go back to it. And so that part that my grandmother made sure we had has stayed with me for years and years and years, and I still use it to, you know, strengthen myself.
I understand. I'm one of those every Sunday children also.
Mm-hmm. Every Sunday.
Yeah. My only question is, did you have to walk? We had to walk.
We had to walk.
Okay.
But you know what's so cool, Lenar? She gave us money, right? She gave us money to put in the pot.
Okay.
But what we would do with part of the money is buy some ice cream afterwards.
Okay, right.
Just made that ice cream stop.
And it was just you and your sister, Phyllis?
My sister and my brother.
And your brother. I've not met your brother.
Yeah, Harry was at the Philadelphia.
Okay.
He was his first one, and he was in Memphis.
I was in both of those, and I don't think I met him. I remember meeting Phyllis. So,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, just because I don't recall, you know, senior moments. So I am looking at, I'm reviewing, because I want to make sure that we touch on and we allow people to know you, like I said, because I've been with the summit and as long as you have in a few more years, and I learned, you know, more about you preparing for this show than I've known about you in all the years that we've been there.
Mm-hmm.
So there are two other things that I want people to know about you is that you are a life coach and a Reiki master.
Mm-hmm.
So talk a little bit about, I'm trying to see which one should we end up with?
Let's do the life coaching first because that came first.
Okay, great.
So, you know, when I went to Kenya,
yes.
You know, one of the things that the summit provides is a place for you to clear yourself.
Right.
And whenever I would go to all the different summits, I would spend that time to really reflect on me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in Kenya, I decided that I no longer want to do my life the way I've been doing it. You know, I got some revelation, and so when I came back, I shifted my life and started to do things a different way. So I want to put that piece in there first. I'm going to back up a little bit, go to 1994. In New Orleans. First summit.
Right.
I came to a planning body meeting or something like that afterwards, directly after that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting down talking to this guy, and I was saying, one of the things I do really well is that I coach people really well. You know, I'm successful in having people, you know, look at what it is they're up to and supporting them through it and having them win and whatever that thing is. I think I should start a business. So this guy said to me, well, then why don't you? I was like, okay. So I came back.
Was that Trevor?
I don't remember who he is.
Okay.
I don't remember who this guy is. I'm so sorry. I don't remember who it is, but he had this conversation with me. So I said, okay. So I came back, and I, you know, paid money for this school called Coach University.
Right.
And, you know, they had a fast-track course where you can put a certain amount of money in, and they'll fast-track you through this coaching training. But one of the things that the guy who started the organization, he said, first of all, you coach people from where they are. And, yes, I'm providing you with a lot of information, but there's a lot of stuff that you already know. so I want you to use that stuff. So I was like, okay. So I started to tell people that if you have me as your coach, I promise you, I don't do this anymore to Lenar, but I did it then. I promise you that you'll get the thing that you're up to. The thing that you've been trying to break through, you'll get that thing if you let me be your coach, and you just let me know when you're ready. I was pretty, you know, that was my attitude about coaching.
Right.
And so I said to one guy, he said, I've been trying to be a success. I've been trying to be a singer for like 5 years. I have a one-man show. So I said, well, when you're ready, let me know. So in about 3 months, you know, he calls me up. He goes, Nancy, I'm ready. And I said to myself, oh, my God. 5 years this guy's been trying to do this thing. I says, I don't know what's getting in his way. I says, but what I'm going to have him do is talk to me every day on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's only 5 to 10 minutes. I says, whatever, you just talk to me 5 minutes. We'll talk every day. So we did. And how I coached him was, whatever the thing was that he was most afraid of, most uncomfortable with, I let him tell me what that thing was, and then I'd tell him to go do it. Come back. I said, after you do it, call me. And the thing that blew me away is he would do it. He'd tell me what the thing was, and then he'd come back and tell me he's done it. And he did. He gave a show, and you know, I was sitting in the audience, and he acknowledged me. He had his band, and he had two shows. And then he said, Nancy, I want to do it again. He did it again. And then the third time, he says, I want to do this. And I says, well, I'll tell you what. I don't believe in people, you know, staying hooked up to me. I want you to know that what you have achieved is what you've achieved because of you.
Right.
So I want you to reach inside of you and find what it is that you need to do this third show, and I'll just buy a ticket and show up.
Mm-hmm.
So what he did was is he picked one of the most popular clubs in New York City. People that, like the Temptations have been there, some really famous people.
Yeah.
And he picked a Saturday night. You know, like, come on now. He picked Saturday night. Yeah. You know, this guy was ready. He gave two shows. I was sitting there for both shows, and both shows was completely filled, sold out.
Wow!
On Saturday night. So I said, that's what I'm talking about. And that's how I see my coaching, is to support people into, like, really getting in touch with their own power.
Yes.
Because it's there.
Yes.
I help you see it.
Yes.
That's my coaching.
And so are you still coaching?
Yes.
All right. Is there a way that people can contact you if they're listening in, they're in the chat room, and they like to avail themselves of your coaching?
Well, right now I'm in the process of revamping my website, so it's not up.
Okay.
So what I can do is provide my number.
All right. This is the number for coaching, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And it's 212.
All right.
831.
Mm-hmm.
3674.
All right.
And I offer a consultation. Free for 30-40 minutes, and we can have a conversation to see if we have a relationship together, because it has to work for both people.
So that's 212-831-3674.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 30-35 minute consultation to determine if it's a working relationship, yes?
Mm-hmm.
And then you go from there.
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
And so how then did life coach then, you said that came first, did that segue into Reiki Master?
Well, the Reiki is interesting because I have, you know, I have a friend of mine here in New York. She told me that the doctor told her that she may have had cancer. She may have had cancer. And she was telling me about this Reiki. Reiki is a hands-on healing technique used to promote healing in the body and to reduce stress. So I said, well, was there anything I could do? I mean, it's got to be frightening. You think you have cancer. So she says, well, this Reiki thing will help. So I says, well, how do I find out about it? How do I learn how to do it? So I went and took this class over a weekend, and I didn't believe it. You know, it's like, okay, whatever. But I said, let me try it. And I'm very hyper person in terms of, like, if I have sugar, it'll get me hyper. If I have caffeine, it'll get me hyper.
Mm-hmm.
So now Reiki is supposed to relax you, right? It's supposed to, like, have you reduce stress in the body.
Okay.
And so the entire weekend during the course of that training, I made sure I took as much caffeine as I could and as much sugar as I could. Because I was like, I'm going to test this thing, see if it works.
So you're going to be your own guinea pig.
Yeah.
Try it out on anyone else. Okay.
So I'm in the training. In the training, you have an opportunity to give sessions. They give you Reiki sessions.
All right.
And Lenar, let me tell you, it is the best night's sleep I've ever had after getting that Reiki treatment.
Wow.
Like my body felt so, so, so relaxed.
Mm.
And I said, on top of all of this caffeine, it even like went past that and said, excuse me, you're going to relax. And I did.
Mm.
And so I gave my, you know, I gave my friend treatments because, you know, at that point I can give treatments because I'm trained.
Right.
And then when she, at some point she found out that she did not have cancer. And then it's, someone had asked me to write an article on it, on Reiki. And I wrote an article, and I put her in the article, and I asked her, I said, did the Reiki help you in any way? She said, Nancy, I didn't have cancer. She says, but I was so scared. The Reiki treatments had me calm down and relax, and that was extremely helpful to me.
Wow.
And so I said, oh, my God. So I found out that not only can I give treatments, there's a way that I can train people to become a Reiki practitioners also. So I went and I took the training once again to be a master so I can teach people.
And how long was that training?
Well, it's interesting about that training. It you know, first of all, you have to wait a couple of years and be a practitioner.
Okay.
You know, you do that for a while, and then you go back to your master, and she will train you. So I'm in the training with her. Normally it's supposed to take 2 weekends and long weekends. And I'm sitting there with her, and I was flying through the training. So she was, like, getting a little unnerved. She says, Nancy, she said, you're getting this so fast. And she said, you know what? I'm going to get myself out of the way and let you get this at the pace you're getting because I've never had anybody pick up this training so quickly. I was like, I was just doing what I was doing. And it's like what she was, I was like, okay, next. Okay, what's the next thing? And the next thing, the next thing. And I wasn't racing, but I was going at a pace that worked for me. And at some point, she said, I have to get myself out of the way and go to speed that you're going because you're getting it faster than I've ever taught anybody before.
Wow.
I was like, okay.
Well, that's a testament to, you know, your mastery. You know, you said you're a Reiki master, and that's definitely a testament.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
And the reason I was asking about that is you've, you know, talked about 3 training programs thus far. Like, it seems like when you do that, that's like been a shift in your life. The travel, you know, you took that training
mm-hmm.
for travel. And I imagine that was several weeks. It wasn't just a weekend.
It was 6 weeks.
6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then you took the life coach and the training, and then you've taken the Reiki
mm-hmm.
The general training, which was a weekend, right, or
two weekends.
Weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and with all your skepticism, coffee and sugar, and now the Reiki master training. So I'm just, you know, pointing out to people that this wasn't just happenstance, it didn't just happen, that you did see something for yourself, and, you know, like you said, if it's not harming me, okay, jumped in. And got yourself trained. So, you know, and just pointing to the caliber and type of people we have as leaders in the International Black Summit. We do come from all walks of life. We are all ages, sizes, and shapes. We have diverse backgrounds, and we are committed to this conversation, you know, being in the world. And now, you know, as if that's not enough, and now you're taking a course on personal
finance.
Yes. More training. So,
yes.
What? Tell us a little bit about the course, and you know, what prompted you to do this, and what are your plans? Do you have plans to do something with this training?
Yeah, it's in 1990s. I was sitting. I was doing work for the elections here. Board of Elections here in New York City, where the mayor votes. I was actually one of the people that, when he came in to sign in to vote, I was one of the people that was sitting around the table when he came in. And a couple of people working there with me, this lady said, I have books that I want to give out. She worked at Time Warner. She said, let me give you a book. I said, well, I love books. Give me a book. So she gave me this book, Susie Orman, 9 Steps to Financial Freedom.
Yes, I have that.
And I read it, right? And I said, oh, my God, this book is like my Bible. So I started learning all of this stuff about finance. And then in 97, I was transitioning jobs. My tax guy said, you know, I see that you save money in your 401K. He says, you know, talk to me about that. He says, what are you invested in? I says, I don't know. I just picked some stuff. And he says, well, maybe I could help you. So I said, well, let me look at what I did. So I went and looked at my money, and so I had been at this company for like 3 years, mm-hmm. and my 401K was like, I think it was like close to $1,600 $16,000, excuse me. And I said, well, okay, that's pretty good. And then I said to the people, you know, who managed the account, I said, well, how much of that I personally put in from my paycheck every week, you know, over 3 years? They said, you put in $5,270. So I said, hey, let me start paying attention to what I'm doing here. So I'm like, okay. So I started to get hungry about personal finance and, you know, looking at all the different things, at like what it takes to invest, like understanding what's going on. And I said, you know what? Susie Orman says, first of all, you should pay yourself first.
Right.
You should pay yourself first. Before I pay any bill, I pay Nancy. And she also says, you are the CEO, CFO, all the employees of your own company, so you should be paying attention to your own business. You are your own business. So I says, well, how do I do that? I need to learn everything I can so the money that I am acquiring, that I get to keep it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like, I tell people all the time, you know how you get up every day and you go to a business, AYZ, and you're about that person's business, making sure that they make money and they give you a check at the end. I said, I'm about Nancy's business, and I get to have all the money at the end.
All right.
So that's really my intention. You know, that's the intention of it. It's not necessarily to go and do anything with it, but and in my coaching, you know, I will use my Reiki, my finance, everything that I've learned, I will make sure that my clients get all of that. I will share all of that with them. Anything that I can offer that will forward them in any way, shape, form, and fashion. And that's not the object of it, but it's like if that's what you need, then I'm going to offer that to you as well. But most of it is to make sure that my finances stay intact and I understand what I'm doing.
And that's, you know, all of the great financial people say that, you know, Kiyosaki, Susie Orman,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Claude Anderson, the Powernomics guy, you
mm-hmm.
know, to get Black America out of the situation it's in, all saying the same thing. It's, you know, just folks listen and follow and do it. So, Nancy, we've got about 3 minutes remaining, and I'd like for you to, you know, over all the topics I think we touched on, I wanted to make sure we got to that statement when you sent me. You said, I want you and others to know 3 things about me. And I want to make sure that we've covered those for you. So have those 3 things been covered?
You actually have. But I just wanted to say, you know, that, you know, like the 3 things was that, you know, I think that my spiritual training and raising, I really appreciate the S training and all it provided. And certainly I'm grateful to the International Black Summit for what it has enriched in me. Those are the things. And I love my life. I love the people in it, and I love what I've been allowed to do in my life.
So before we begin signing off, I want to let listeners know that the International Black Summit, we have an annual event. That event is July 31st, August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Anguilla, British West Indies this year. You are invited to come and join us there. And as always, you're invited to join us here on the International Black Summit talk show Sunday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern. You go to our website at www.blacksummit.org. That's BLACKSUMMIT.org. There is a show next Sunday with your host, Clara, and it's called You're Invited, and our intention is to have the youth, our youth group, or participants in the International Black Youth Summit, participating in that show. Nancy, it has been a pleasure chatting with you, girl.
Thank you.
I've learned so much about you. You know, hey to Phyllis and your mom and Lewis and his wife, your band members, and all of the others who have...
And my god sister.
And your god sister, that's right. Make sure we're thanking them for listening in. And there are several people in the chat room. And John Thomas, again, thank you for starting off the show. So I was driving up to the house as we were getting started for this. Let's see. Is there anything, you know, just to remind people that the International Black Summit Talk Show is our opportunity to expand the conversation of the summit, which says, let's give them the first couple of lines of the declaration, Nancy. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. And our last line is that, what is our last line? My brain just went blank, but it is for the transformation of the universe. So that's who we are. We're wishing you, here it is. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. So we wish you the very best week of your eternal lives.
Mm-hmm.
And Nancy, again, thank you.
Thank you.
Great.
Good night, guys.
Good night.